I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our reading for today is taken from Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 to 17 and then chapter 3 verse 1 to 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was so desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ, in these human words, God's word is heard. So we have a great guest preacher today, and I will just introduce her formally. So our guest preacher for today is Miss Melinda Grace Ayok. Tama ko ba?
Awanan.
Okay. Parang Greek, no? Ang ganda sa akin, Greek. Eh. Awanan. And she is currently on a sabbatical from institutional work. She is from the United Church of Christ in the Philippines, UCCP. She used to be the program coordinator for community ministries until June of last year. She also served her denomination as executive secretary for program ministries, at the same time the national coordinator for Christian education and nurture. Before being deployed to UCCP national office, she was sent by her church to North Sumatra in Indonesia as United Evangelical Mission co-worker. She also served as program secretary for ecumenical education and nurture sa NCCP, National Council of Churches, and subsequently program secretary of the Center of Women, Youth, and Children sa Union Theological Seminary. She holds a Master of Divinity from Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee sa US. And meron din pong psychology from UP Diliman. So, I give you Miss Melinda Grace Awan.
Thank you very much, Chang, Reverend Joseph. Thank you for inviting me to be in fellowship. Wow, what an honor to be in fellowship with all of you. Two-thirds of my family is with me today. It is indeed a great pleasure. I have been tasked to reflect with you on one nameless woman or girl in the Bible. And I get to choose the text and who that woman or girl would be. There are so many nameless females in the Bible. And thus I had a wide array of choices. Hirap, sabi ko, something ba? To narrow my choices. And because I tend to consult the lectionary for my reflections, I started reading the lectionary lessons for this Sunday. Lo and behold, the first lectionary reading, which is from the Genesis text just read, tells about a woman unnamed. Convenient, yes? She's unnamed in this particular pericope, although she has been named a little bit prior. She will also be given another name later. But even though she gets two names, I propose that we give her a name by ourselves, basing on this particular section of the text we are studying. Allow me to read our selected passage again. Yahweh took and put Adama, the human being, in the Garden of Eden, to till it and keep it. And Yahweh commanded Adama, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that Yahweh had made. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to Adama, who was with her, and Adama ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. This is taken from the New Revised Standard Version, slightly reworded to be more faithful to the Hebrew source. We must know that this story is in the category of myths. What are myths? Myths are stories that tell of beginnings or origins of a particular worldview or mindset. What does our story for today tell us? God has put human beings in a garden where they can live. They are instructed to eat of every tree, but lest they die, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There is also a serpent in the garden who tells them that, no, you will not die if you eat the fruit in question. In fact, your eyes will be opened. So the woman ate of the delicious looking fruit. Kumukha namang masarap. Palagay ko masarap. Pwedeng kainin. And gave some of it to the other. And indeed, their eyes were opened. And they did not die. Namatay. So what do we name the woman? So I want to name her ourselves. I name her conscientized. Sure, the man has already named her. He calls her woman. But I think woman is hardly a proper name at all, don't you think? Oy, babae. Woman. Later on, the other names were Eve, the mother of all living. But today, I name her conscientized. What does conscientized mean? It means that one's eyes have been opened. She's conscientized because she desired knowledge and wisdom. She wanted to know the difference between good and evil. She wanted that her eyes be opened. And not only hers, but also Adama's. So, she becomes conscientized. I suggest we not only name the woman, but also Adama, the other human being. I'm sure we already know what Adama means, yeah? Human being. But as we have read, from the NRSV, it is translated as very gendered man. What should we name the other human being? I name the other one organized. The woman wanted the other to be conscientized like her. So she offered something that would open the other's eyes as well, which was willingly accepted. Walang pilitan, diba? Thus, the other became organized. Now, I think we must not stop at just naming the woman and the other human being. We must also name the serpent. The serpent seems to have been vilified in this story, and not just in this story. I guess throughout the entire Hebrew Bible and the New Testament. Kaya nga sa lectionary reading, ito yung pinili, and then sa dulo, yung Matthew reading, kung saan yung temptation ni Jesus Christ. We must remember that the serpent is also made by God. I believe that everything God made is good. Amen?
Amen.
God says so God's self, especially if we read Genesis 1. For me, the role of the serpent in this story is one who mobilizes. The serpent convinced the woman to eat of the fruit, and the woman ate. The serpent educated the woman that to eat of the fruit would not cause death, and the serpent was right. The serpent here is an agitator and a mobilizer, an educator even. I name the serpent mobilizer. And because woman and the other have been educated and organized, both have become mobilizers as well. Now we have named all three of the four characters in our story. I propose, for our purposes, that we also name God. In Hebrew and Jewish tradition, God has become the ultimate named and yet unnamed. God's name cannot be mentioned, whether orally or in written form. I have Jewish friends who do not utter the word God nor write it. I have one friend who would use a Hebrew word which means the one who is on the mountain when orally referring to God. Another friend would write capital G asterisk D for God. They give names to God that is utterable for them. Yung pwede nilang bigkasin. So it is just appropriate for us this time to also give God a name by which we can reference God in this reflection. I sense God in this story, despite the seeming prohibitions God has set as someone who empowers and enables. God has put the human being in a beautiful and abundant garden in order to care for it and to be productive in it. God has given a most suitable partner and helper to the human being. Later on, when God takes them out of the garden, God continues to empower them and enables them to do what they need to do. Heck, ginawan pa nga sila ng mga damit. Her story, naming the nameless and the unnamed in Scripture. I have taken the liberty to slightly amend our theme for today. We have not only named woman, we even named the other human being and the serpent. And we named God. Very powerful you naming it. When we name, that means we have power over it. It can mean that. But let us not forget who we are. We are church. We are God's people. Her story is not just the story of her. Woman can never truly be empowered apart from the empowerment of the rest of us. Her story, just as history, is the story of all of us. What can be our takeaway from this story and our study of this story for today? First, like the woman, we must strive to be conscientized. We must know, even if we may live in our beautiful, comfortable gardens, that there is a whole world out there. We must open our eyes to the realities of this world and, impelled by the mandates of our faith, strive to know what we must do in order that this present world may be restored to the world God intended it to be, a world where God's will of love, genuine peace with justice, freedom, equality, and equitability truly reigns. Second, like the other human being, we must be organized. As a church, we must be properly organized. Jesus Christ is the perfect organization for the church. Christ is our head, we are the body. What the head does, the body must also do. What did Jesus do? Jesus fed the hungry, healed the sick, welcomed and loved the ostracized, brought good news to the poor, proclaimed release to the prisoners, opened the eyes of the blind, let the oppressed go free. What must we do? As a people who profess to be followers of Christ, as a people who have named ourselves Christian, we must do likewise. As a conscientized and organized body of Christ, we must feed the hungry and advocate for a just and equitable distribution of the world's resources so that these are no longer concentrated in the hands of the 1% elite while the 99% try to live off it and even wallow in poverty. And want. We must heal the sick and advocate for a just universal health system where healing and wholeness is not only for the few and a luxury or even just a dream for the many. We must welcome the unwelcomed, the ostracized, and the marginalized. We must love as God loves. Tama ba, Chang? We must do the main thing. This is the only way to go. We must bring good news to the poor. What is good news to the poor? Is it the knowledge that acceptance of Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior assures us of a place in God's heaven after we die? No. Good news for the poor is the assurance that God's intention for them of a full life is a reality in the here and now while they are still alive. That is good news to the poor. We must also proclaim release to the prisoners and call for the release of all unjustly jailed, including all political prisoners. We must advocate for a justice system that is truly just and fair, not just for the moneyed, but for all. We must open our blinded eyes so we can likewise open the eyes of others and the agents of their conscientization as well. We must let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of God's favor. Easy to do? No. And not without risks. Still want to be a Christian? Yeah. Remember that Jesus Christ, who we say we follow, was nailed to the cross. Third, like the serpent, we must be mobilizers and agitators. We must tell everyone that things are not right through the world. When farmers have no land to till, when those who produce food have nothing on their tables, when children go hungry, while people bathe in milk, di natin ginagawa yun. Pero may gumagawa nyo. And the U.S. government dumps their excess agricultural products because it is cheaper to do so, dump ha sa ano, sa dagat, than to give it to the hungry. When LGBTQIA plus people are lynched and mobbed for their sexual orientation and gender identity and expression. When the Lumad are forced off their ancestral lands because of transnational mining and extraction of our national resources. When young people are killed because they side with the oppressed. When church people are silenced because they go by the mandates of their faith. When women are exploited and abused just because they are women. When Filipinos have to go look for greener pasture elsewhere because there are not enough decent jobs in our country. These and more tell us that things are not right with the world. But also, tell all the world about God's good news, remembering that what is good news for the many is bad news for the few. We must be mobilizers because being a church means doing God's mission. It is allowing God to work in, through, and with us. Otherwise, we do not have the right to call ourselves church. Fourth, in striving to be all three, being conscientized, being organized, being a mobilizer, let us be enablers for each other. It is in naming who we are that facilitates our empowerment and enablement. Let us therefore strive to empower and enable each other, human beings all, and all created order. Hindi lang ako nagkasya sa women eh. Dapat lahat tayo. All the oikos, all the created order. It is only in the empowerment of the other can we be truly empowered. When we are empowered and enabled, each of us is able to do what we need to do, that of doing the will of God. If we do God's will, we are assured that God is always with us, Emmanuel. In the name of our enabler and creator, our companion and redeemer, and our advocate and sustainer. Amen.